Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the State of Play podcast, episode number 99 of the show. I'm your host, Martino Puccio. Alongside me is Pet Barisha for this week. Just the two of us, Pet. Some transfer talk. Yeah, I'll let you go sing that.
Loads of transfer talk. Loads of transfer talk, but not that much in Italy and not that much in Spain. It seems to be
or
Germany. It seems to be concentrated mostly in England and France, doesn't it? And that's a couple areas we'll be concentrating on. But there are some things happening in those other countries. So we'll try and do a run through each league. Doing well, really hot in London at the moment. We're looking forward to talking about football rather than playing football, which I did a couple of hours ago, which was a huge mistake. It's terribly hot, really, really bad. So I've got an ice pack in my hands right now just to keep me cool.
Man, you talk about New York one day. I don't know if you can handle all the humidity here with the heat. I mean, listen, we get 90 something degrees over here. And listen, it's not even as bad
Martino,
as like
Martino, you've got a pool.
My parents have a pool. I don't. It's not mine. I'm probably gone out of here in the next 18 months or so. Hopefully less.
Marching orders.
It's under my own volition. So transfer talk. We knew this was going to heat up the second these tournaments ended. And that's exactly what's happening right now. It's kind of, some moves are going pretty quick. Some have, like, you know, taken a little bit more time than some would have liked. There's been, like, smaller moves, but, you know, the bigger moves, especially coming to the Prem, we'll start with your club. Ben White, 50 million, correct? Pounds.
Pounds and sterling.
Listen, this point was brought up. And I know contract situations are different. Maybe there's a tax within the league itself. But paying the same amount for Ben White as United is for Rafael Varane, does that bother you at all? Or you understand the way that deals like this have to work? Are you okay with that fee for Ben White?
I mean, so the thing is, right? Like, he went on loan to Leeds. Played every minute for Leeds under Bielsa in the Championship. They got promoted. Leeds then bid £30 million for him, right? I think in that same summer, someone bid £45 million for Lewis Dunk. I think it was Chelsea when he was 26 years old. So you're talking like centre-backs and good ones, especially ones that are good on the ball, are very hot commodities. And look, like, have Arsenal overpaid or are they going to overpay for Ben White? Absolutely. Are they going to overpay by that much, considering that a team like Leeds bid 30 million for him 2 years ago? Probably not. I mean, you're never going to get a player cheap who's just breaking into the England squad, right? I know he didn't play a minute, but, you know, as soon as a player gets called up to the England squad, teams automatically start valuing them high. I think, you know, it's kind of a well-known fact, especially here in the UK. There's even things in contracts, right, where certain buyout clauses or contracts start going up in terms of value as soon as they start making it into their national team squad. So I think Ben White, like, when you think about David Luiz, for example, right, he was brought to England to Arsenal for £8 million. But they also paid an £8 million fee to his agent, mm-hmm. Kyrie Jirapian, and they paid him £8 million for a year. So for 1 year, we essentially took David Luiz on for £24 million. Now, what do I think is a better use of capital, right? Ben White for £50 million, or David Luiz, aged 33 at the time, 32, 33 at the time, for £24 million. I'm always going to say the latter because he's cheap, English, not cheap, young and English. And I think I tweeted something along the lines of, like, football recruitment is made very complicated by a lot of clubs, right? If you buy cheap, buy young and buy high potential, you're going to minimize the chance of bad signings by following a few simple parameters, right? And now that doesn't mean every signing has to hit every parameter. And I think I referenced, like, Ruben Diaz being City's best player and the best centre-back in England, age 23 in his first season in the Premier League. And someone commented, like, oh, yes, the cheap £60 million defender. It's like, well, they don't have to hit every parameter. But as long as you have these parameters that you work within, you kind of minimize your chance of buying flops. And look, you've seen it with Milan, for example, right? Theo Hernandez. Frank Kessie, Ismail Benacer, Brahim Diaz, like even Jans-Peter Haag, who might not be at the club next summer, but at least like if you buy cheap, young and high potential, you don't often lead yourself in a corner. And look, Milan didn't do that for one summer and just went, yeah, that's it for us. What you do is you start doing it a summer and you start compounding. So you buy Theo Hernandez 2 years ago, right? But now he's 2 years older, he's one of the best left backs in Europe, and now you buy a young player to supplement him, to be backup to him. And that's what Arsenal have just had to start doing, right? Yeah. Lokonga, Ben White. Like this is like the first summer or the second summer where you buy some of these young pieces that can put pressure on your squad. And in 2-3 years, Ben White and Lokonga could be two very good players for Arsenal, and they could start for Arsenal. And in those in 2-3 years, you might buy a 20-year-old defender. You might buy a 20-year-old central midfielder who's
where you don't have the constant carousel of pressing needs.
Yeah, exactly.
Positions.
Exactly. And look, we've seen Milan, for example, sign Giroud on a free. Like, they don't always have to be cheap and young and high potential.
But you have more flexibility when you put yourselves in position.
But
like that.
But it means, yeah, exactly, when you have those options and when you've bought the way that Milan have bought, for example, over the last 2-3 summers, you can. I'm not saying this in a bad way. You can afford a mistake. If Giroud doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world. But for Arsenal, if you look at Socrates, if you look at Lichtensteiner, if you look at David Luiz, if you look at Kolasinac, like if they don't work out, it's very hard to shift them. Mesut Ozil, new contract, very hard to shift. Even Aubameyang and Thomas Partey recently, the jury's still out on how those transfers are going to work out in hindsight. So for me, I'm not so worried about it because he's young, he's English, he's talented, he's very good on the ball. And I think it's a lot harder to make these bad signings than to make them good, if that makes sense.
No, I totally understand that. And I think a lot of people fail to realize with these transfer strategies, and especially these clubs that aren't able to spend, you know, eccentric amounts of money. Like, how many times, and I said this, and Matt and I used to say this all the time when we were doing our other side podcast on Milan, is like, listen, it's not going to happen overnight. The only time something happens overnight was like 15 years ago when you're able to do that. You can't just do it in one summer now. And even if you do it in one summer, which they tried doing 4 summers ago, there's a lot of potential for hit and miss. And especially when you have directors in that have no idea what they're doing. Arsenal, first of all, needed to get better directors in there. Yes, they finally got someone who's more on the same page of the direction that they want to go in, as opposed to what was happening with Gazidis. It takes 2 to 3 years, even longer. Like, Juve was up from Serie A, Pet, for a couple years. They didn't start winning the titles till 2011, 2012. You know, like, that took a few years from them. And they still had Buffon and they still had Del Piero. Like, you have to hit on some of these transfers. When you're just coming out of, you know, these spots where, okay, you might be better off than what you were a couple of years ago, but if you're putting in a transfer for, like, Pepe, for example, right? Say Arsenal were still in a really bad spot. They spend all that money on him. If he were to, like, completely tank and flop, they're put in a really tough position because they have to potentially worry about not only replacing him, selling him, and figuring this whole thing out again. Because if you go top heavy like that, the chances of it being a bigger disaster if it goes wrong is really high. And clubs like Arsenal, clubs like Milan, I mean, Arsenal is richer more because of, you know, the league that they play in. And considering the size of the club that you guys are, you don't really spend as much as a lot of people should. And I mean, that's well documented, right? But again, it takes time. And from what I've seen personally, I know it doesn't always translate on the field with Arsenal. I think there is a more concise and clear idea of what they are trying to do now. Because I think they've invested in 2 summers in a row now, 2 center backs that they could at least hope to depend upon for, what, 5 to 7 years, you want to say? Mm-hmm. Be conservative on it. But the thing is,
it doesn't even have to be that, right? Because, look, I mentioned it with Jans-Peter Haag, right? Like, if he doesn't work out, he's used as a bargaining chip, or Milan make their money back or more. Same with Saliba, Gabriel, Ben White.
Make 10 to 15 million already.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things that you're less likely to put yourself in a bad spot. Like, people keep complaining about Saliba going on loan, right? But he's only 20. There are not that many 20-year-olds starting in the Premier League, right? Would I have liked him to stay and get about 15 games? Sure, but I'm not sure he would have got that. He probably wants to play 30, 35, 40 games.
Same fans say that is when he plays and they lose a game against like West Brom and they're like, why the fuck is he in? But it's like, that's what you kind of have to rock with because there's a lot of growing pains that these kids go through.
Yeah. And look, would I rather have him play 40 games for Marseille or 12 for Arsenal next season? Yeah. It's a no-brainer, right? And look, like, this is the situation Arsenal put themselves in. And you start, it's like a compounding effect, as I mentioned, right? Like, you start seeing the shape to the squad. And by buying a Nuno Tavares and a Conga, a Ben White, you suddenly have three guys there. One who's a starter, two who are kind of supplementary young players who then grow into your team eventually. And look, they've got to follow this kind of Leicester, Milan, Monaco, Dortmund model to try and win, because they are like, you're never going to beat Chelsea, City with the riches that they have when, you know,
even though City don't win
I mean, sure, but like, he's not going to spend it. Have won, they don't win the Champions League and suddenly they're linked to spending 200 million on Kane and Grealish, right? Like Chelsea last summer, when everyone was scrambling to find money, were buying Werner and Havertz for 130 million combined. You know, there's like, Arsenal are not going to be able to compete at that level, so they have to be smarter. Like, and if you're not smarter off the pitch, you're not going to win on the pitch. But you know, I think there's other things to discuss in the Premier League.
Lokonga, then.
I mean, yeah, Lokonga, I think, really exciting signing, progressive, can play as a six or an eight, breaks up play well, a good passer in general, athletic, and wins a lot of duels. So I think he's going to be a good addition to the Arsenal squad, especially at the beginning of the season, where we don't know what's going to happen with Xhaka. We don't know if there's going to be another central midfielder come in late. We're going to talk about Locatelli later in the show, who is more likely to go to Juventus. But yeah, I think an interesting one. But I mean, from your side, Martino, Locatelli, like, is he definitely going to go to Juventus, do you think?
So did you want to hold off on the Locatelli thing, or you want to Jadon Sancho first?
Let's talk about Locatelli quickly.
You want Locatelli?
He's a hybrid.
Okay, so for me, no offense to you, to any Arsenal fan.
There's none taken.
Like, it's, why would you ever want to go to Arsenal in this situation where, first of all, one of your main choices for a little while since you left Milan now has been Juve, simply because of the fit. And they have an opening and they have a good relationship with Sassuolo, and the kid has shown to be comfortable enough. Like, is he that pressing to win now after he just won the Euros and was a main contributor for the squad? Like, think about that for a second. The reason why you want to force your move so quickly is because you want to move and win, right? That's usually what it is, right? For a lot of these guys, because they're going to be getting paid anyways. But even then, it's still a sizable amount. Arsenal have been reported that they're willing to pay the 40 million euro fee that Sassuolo has been asking for. Locatelli doesn't want to go there. Juve, their first offer has been 30 million with loan and obligation. They're financially constrained, and especially when Cristiano Ronaldo is there. Would he stay another year? I don't know about that. And if he were to do that, I think that's something on the surface would look really rough for Arsenal. But at the same time, you can't convince a player at the end of the day. You can have all the money you want. And this is, what, again, with the compounding thing and going back to what we're talking about, maybe if it's, there's going to be a situation where we're looking at Arsenal two, 3 years from now, like we're looking at Milan right now, where if they were in the position that they want to be in today, would they have been able to sign Locatelli? If Arsenal was in the Champions League today and they qualified like two straight years, would they have a good chance at Locatelli? I say yes. A very good chance for it. But right now, what are the prospects and the reasoning for him to go? He's just going basically to the same place that he left with Milan, right?
Yeah.
A big club that has kind of been in shambles and in no man's land for years now. That's not what he wants to do. That's not what he went to Sassuolo for, to build himself up as one of the top young midfielders. You know, I don't know. You want to say in the continent or whatever. It's a debate sake. You know, so for me, I think he goes to Juve, but I am just truly interested to see how it all plays out. They're going to have to do something similar to a formula like Chiesa was. They did get to the fee where it was 60 million euros, but it's spread out over time. And I think that's probably the way it's going to go down for them, because listen, they get Locatelli, the title's a wrap for them. They're back to winning it again. I don't think there's any question about it, in my opinion.
I mean, if you consider the depth they have at, you know, centre back with the two mainstays, De Ligt, you know, even Demiral. I mean, there's talks of Rugani leaving as well. Yeah, just so many good players there. I've just seen something pop up on Twitter though, Matt Martino. I keep calling him Matt, it's really annoying. Understand Spurs, and it's from a good source in Alistair Gold, who's usually pretty good for Spurs stuff at football.london. Understand Spurs' managing director of football, Fabio Paratici, has held advanced talks to sign Atalanta centre back Christian Romero and goalkeeper Pierluigi Gollini. Thoughts on that?
So I saw the Gollini stuff. Atalanta already signed Juan Musso, who is one of the top three goalkeepers in Serie A this past season. Yeah. He's been a very consistent keeper for Udinese. So they get rid of him and DePaul. They cash out, you know, they're restarting over there. The Gollini thing, I saw 15 million euros from Nicolo Schira. 15 million euros. So the plan is here, clearly, that Hugo Lloris is probably on his way out sooner than later, right? We're talking about smart clubs, Pet. And we talked about how often I state that Fabio Paratici was not the brains behind Juve's success. And it's showing here again. Because who did Milan sign for the exact same fee? And where did they get him from? And who is he a legitimate backup to for the national team? Mike Maignan. So we're talking about a guy in Gollini, who isn't always a consistent starter for Atalanta, by the way. He's I give you slightly above average. He's nothing elite. He's nothing to boast about. I think he's still on, I would put him on the same level as Leno. Maybe, you know, you go back and forth depending on who you ask. I think they're on the same level of keeper. And as far as the other player, I'm sorry, it's just slipping my mind, Romero. Romero. Huge, immense player for Atalanta this season. After this whole stretch with Gasperini that they've been going on making the Champions League, he's been by far the best defender that they've had during this run. He obviously played well with Argentina during Copa America before he got hurt. What is the reported fee for him? Because I think that would be a telling thing. I would imagine they're getting theirs with this. It's got to be near like 40 million euros, I bet.
I mean, they don't sell cheap, do they?
They don't lose sales, and everyone that they replace, it's a home run every single time. They plan on selling Gosens this summer, and they get Mela that they've had on their bench, but was also shining for Denmark, making a semifinal. Like just think about that. With Paratici here,
is that going to happen? Is Gosens going to go?
They it's reported that he's going to go. They want to cash in now because they have a clear replacement. But that, again, we'll see how that transpires and who's really going to be in the market to buy him, right? Because you can only imagine at this point. Wouldn't shock me if PSG, but, you know, you say that anytime. So for me, Paratici was one of those guys at Juve that initially bought him, but they loaned him out. He was involved with the Caldara thing as well, where they were both, you know, heading back to Atalanta. They were these highly rated, you know, promising center back prospects. He sold him for like pennies on the dollar. He went for like 15 million euros to Atalanta. Like, that's horrible business. And now he's going to go back where Atalanta, first of all, they don't lose sales. Second of all, Spurs, how often do they win purchases? Thirdly, it's Fabio Paratici doing this. And is Daniel Levy going to stay there and say, okay, yeah, we'll invest that much in a center back right now?
Well,
for that amount
maybe
of money?
Maybe that's why he's brought him in, right?
They weren't even willing to meet the demands for Milan Skriniar, who's a much better defender. Yeah. So And they've gotten worse. They're in a worse spot financially.
Yeah, they are. What about Joachim Mähler, quickly, just touching on him? I mean, he was one of the stars of the tournament. You know, staying at Atalanta next season and going to be a big part of them?
So The logical thing that we all assume with Atalanta is, okay, who's ever been starting for us, been an absolute rock star, high goal-scoring output like a Gosens at the left wing-back position, you sell him for a massive fee, you immediately already have his replacement that's been on the bench and appearing for your club for a little bit, so you know you don't have to bridge the gap. And in terms of, you know, fitting in your system, getting adjusted to the league, I think he would adjust fine. I think it would be a perfect solution for it. And I think they would have to, I think there's a certain point with Atalanta, Pet, and you can tell me this. I personally think it's coming to a certain point with them that they have to win something. And to win something, it's great what they're doing, where they're financially healthy. They're selling players for 2 to 3 times what they bought them. But at a certain point, where is the big money purchase that instead of selling a Christian Romero, you go and use the 40 million from Gosens and you put it for another massive center back? You know what I'm saying? Like, where's that move that pushes you further up? They get a little bit better, or they keep the same team, albeit the same team is a really good side that, you know, is one of the best scoring teams in league history on top of being competitive in the Champions League. The issue here again is this: what are their ambitions? What do they ultimately see themselves being? Is it just a team that, you know, every now and then they can win something, or do they finally want to go for it a little bit? And they wouldn't be put in a terrible financial spot if they do spend that money, because they just made a ton of money on Gosens, right? So I think they have to come down to that decision. And they're just going to be raising funds on Golini like that. Like, Golini, like, dude, if he wasn't starting like all 38 games, you can get 15 million euros for a club like Atalanta. Like, it's genius for them. So I don't know. At the end of the day, we'll see what happens with Gosens. I thought he would have been gone by now, but we'll see what happens. We're only on July 19th.
Mm. Jadon Sancho, Manchester United. I mean, this one was coming from last season. Didn't happen. Yeah. Happened this season. A really good signing for Man United. They've obviously held their corner and not paid as much as they wanted to last summer. Dortmund have got still an incredibly good fee. I mean, this puts United a step closer. I mean, there's rumours of Varane as well. Martino, this would put, those two signings would put them a step closer, wouldn't they, to getting and competing properly with Man City and, you know, you'd think Liverpool and Chelsea next season.
I think that really does. You know, they've been solid in defence. I respect them, but there's nothing elite about them. You know what I'm saying? Now, like, Harry Maguire had a really good season, bounce back season, but now, if you couple Harry Maguire and Rafael Varane, in your opinion, how many center back pairings in the Premier League are better or more talented than that? I genuinely think there's an argument to be made on their best day that they have the best center back pairing, you know, right there with Liverpool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Van Dijk bounces back to that. I think it's of that level. I truly do. And especially they have to figure out that right back thing, because, you know, the rumors of Trippier and stuff, but just solely based on that, and then, you know, Jadon Sancho there, just the sole creativity of that player and having another piece to that puzzle up front, where, you know, even if they're not having a world-class striker like they've had in the past, they're still going to be having
Cavani,
tons of
it doesn't look too, but I meant like
38 games a season.
Yeah.
The Champions League, the FA Cup, if they choose to do that, they're going to need goals from other areas. And this is what I say with Milan all the time, too. Your goals don't always have to come from your striker solely.
Yeah. Especially in the modern game, right? If you look at Salah and Mane, how that kind
of
get
10 to 15, you know, we're just being conservative with the numbers here, 10 to 15 goals and whatever the assists are, like, it's all great. At the end of the day, like, all that matters is how many goals you put in the back of the net, not who does it. So again, I think this is really good. It puts him a step closer. Still don't trust Ole though to get him over the hump. I really don't. I don't think he's that guy. I think he's good enough to get you in Champions League, be competitive somewhat in it, but he's not the guy to take Man United back to glory. And does he
deserve some credit, Martino? It's like a lot of noise that comes out of Old Trafford that says that he's been overseeing with the scouting or the chief scouts this kind of, you know, better recruitment, you'd call it, over the last 3 to 4 years.
Listen, how hard is it to recruit when you're told you have X amount of money and you can go and get who you want? I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I really am not. But like, we see this with Leonardo, though. Did we not see it when he had less funds to work with Milan? Awful market. Look what he does when he goes to PSG. You have unlimited money. You could do what you want. Oh, yeah, let me just go get Hakimi. Let me go get Gigio Donnarumma. Let me go get Wijnaldum. That's easy. Anyone can do that. We could get you in your job where you say, hey, we could offer you a blank check here and you can get as much as you want. The situation in Madrid is toxic. I give them credit for taking advantage of that situation. They're going to have one of the worst defensive center back pairings, by the way. So, yeah, I mean, listen, they get some credit. But again, you know this. Manchester United is about winning trophies. If they don't get to that soon, then they're gone. Because look at what happened with Chelsea. Not good enough, fired. We'll get someone who can come in and do it. So that's all I got to say on that. So you could go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting, isn't it? I think, I think United will definitely come in the top four. It depends what Chelsea and Liverpool do with the rest of their markets. But, City are obviously definitely going to be in there. I think, you know, Chelsea actually are definitely going to be in there as well. To be fair, I think that's the top four consolidated. I don't see anyone breaking into that. But, let's move
especially
over to
Leicester, by the way, real quick. Yeah. How are they going to bounce back after two heartbreaking misses like that for top four? That's hard.
It is hard, but I mean, if you look at if you take a step back, the trajectory of the club, like winning an FA Cup was huge, like massive for that club and the city, especially you know who they beat, right? So it's a big victory for them.
I got my job to do right now, correct? Because we can't forget it because we've extended some of the topics. So we'll just get into a couple of things that we have first. Obviously, we are brought to you by 90 Minute Football Network podcast. It's just been a privilege and it's been awesome to get the growth and our clips posted on there. It's really great that everyone has followed us over since we made the transition as well. So let's get into it. One of the great things since we joined 90 Minute Pod has been sponsorships. And one that is back. So, Manscaped, Pet, the Olympics, Euros, baseball, big fan, major championships, and concerts are all in this summer. You know what isn't? A wild and hairy bush. That's right, Pet. Tame your pubes with the help from our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Their fourth-generation performance package includes the brand-new Lawnmower 4.0. Not three, not two, not one, four. If an athlete treats their body like royalty, why not treat your pubes like an Olympic gold medal? I mean, Messi has one, so might as well do this as well. Fellas, do right by your balls and join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to the site with the code FANSIDED20. The description and the title for it is going to be everything in the bio with the description for that, with the code there. Pet, personally, this stuff is like awesome. I used it before. They give you like a bunch of like other stuff and they give you like, you know, like wipes that kind of smell like cologne that you wipe on your man.
Yeah. I've got the box.
Yeah.
At home.
Yeah. So like if you go out in the night in New York City or London or wherever you want to go, you not only are trimmed, you have a magnificent smelling man area. So obviously that is difficult, especially when you're sweating like Pet when he's playing all that football all day long. It's going to come in handy. And it's multi-purpose too. You could just like shave your chest if you choose to shave your chest. I was growing out a beard. I changed the razor. I had to shave the beard. I had too much of it. But it's great. It doesn't take long to charge. There's a couple other parts about it. The package comes in with a weed whacker to chop your worst weeds up in your nose area and your ears. If you get hairy like that, hey, like it happens. No judging at all. Especially when we make fun of people that are on Hairline Watch. But, you know, it is what it is. So, again, it's a fourth generation trimmer. Be sure to check it out. FANSIDED20 is the code once again. Get 20% off plus free shipping with that code as well. So it's very huge if you're able to do that. Achieve pubic glory this year with Manscaped. Go get a gold medal for your pubes.
Go do it, also, boys. Because, look, hot boy summer, you know, anything can happen.
Hot boy summer, yeah. Pet's got that real tan on, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking.
He went from pale to not as pale. So we also have So Rare is one of our other sponsors as well. Pet. Very busy. You have to be very busy with all this stuff at the current moment, I'd imagine.
My man, I've been buying cards. I've been buying. I just bought a Fabinho, literally as we were speaking. Someone accepted my offer. Fabinho just been bought. I bought a super rare Luis Felipe as well. I'm like, Lazio have got no centre backs. They've got no choice but to play him. I got his super rare and his rare card. I'm thinking Sarri turns him into the next Beckenbauer. I bought a Renato Sanchez as well. Matthias De Ligt, Theo Hernandez. I won a Georgia Villafana, LA Galaxy centre back, and a Taruki Hara, who plays in Japan recently. So, I also bought the boy John Tolkien from New York Red Bulls. The next
Any relation
come out
to
there.
George?
Who?
George Tolkien?
No, probably not. Probably not.
Come on.
I was like,
geez,
what the
Pat?
Fuck?
No idea. But you guys know what it is. It's a global blockchain fantasy game. It's a fantasy game of soccer where players like Pet buy, sell, and trade and manage a virtual team with digital player cards. If you use our link in the description of the episode, you can buy 5 new cards from the primary market, both individual cards and bundles, and you get one free rare card and the highly coveted and well-documented Memphis Depay card that Pet got. Probably going to plummet in value soon, according to everyone's thoughts. Speaking of Memphis Depay and the club that he is maybe going to sign with, who knows the situation with Barcelona, but we do know one of the main stories right now, and it's a big one, Pat. Griezmann, Saul swap. Griezmann heading back to Atletico. This just, I want to talk about what it was like with Griezmann at Barcelona. First season, absolute disaster. Second season, nice bounce back for him. Obviously didn't, you know, come with, well, a lot of glory. Sees his former club win the league title without him. This is just back to the situation that Barca was in, that it didn't make sense to me when they signed Griezmann in the first place, because it just didn't address any of their needs. I don't think they needed help up front like that. It was a luxury, in my opinion. It ended up being clearly a luxury now. Atletico made out. They looked great. Now they're going to get one of their best players of the past 10 years back. And Pat, this better positions Atletico to repeat, in my opinion, as La Liga champions. Barca has a lot of work to do. Talk about this deal as a whole, because Barca still has to offload a lot of players, and Griezmann is going to be the best one.
Yeah, I mean, he's on a crazy amount of money, right? So you get rid of that salary. Saul comes in with, I presume, a salary that is kind of like, what, half, if that? And, you know, I think Barcelona have got to do a lot of kind of Arthur Pjanic type deals, don't they, this summer, to try and... Because, like, who wants that Griezmann contract? Who wants the Coutinho contract?
Who can afford it?
Who wants the Umtiti contract? Like, they're gonna have to do a lot of interesting accounting to try and get out of this. And it's tough, right? Like, it's really tough to kind of pinpoint where they're going to end up with. I mean, the Depay signing, I think it's a good match with Messi. I think they're gonna work quite well together.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm gonna sell him yet on so rare. I keep bunching back and forth. I don't know. It's a tough one. Real tough one. So, Saul, kind of probably a player that should have kicked on a couple of years ago to another club. Feels like he needs a fresh challenge. Griezmann, sure. I mean, he's being moved on because of the contract situation, and they've got to do a lot more, don't they?
They do. And honestly, you know, it's funny. Everyone's just singing these praises for Messi for taking a 50% pay cut. And I tweeted this out. I was like, the last contract was $600 million, guys. Like, he just turned 34 and he just got a $300 million contract over the span of another 5 years, where he's almost going to be 39. Listen, still terrific. Chances are he's going to win the Ballon d'Or again. But no, I come on. We're already talking about where they had to do that tricky accounting, as you mentioned, where Pjanic is already on his way out. Coutinho, it's been well documented, the best game that he's had since he left Liverpool was against Barcelona in the Champions League when they won 8-2, I think the score was. Like, everything that they do, even currently, Pep, this is where what's going to put them in a difficult spot. I think they're going to be so focused on just getting rid of guys, we're not going to really see them improving the squad that much. Like, how much better is the squad truly going to get? Pedri looks amazing. Busquets, old reliable. Ter Stegen's still a top keeper. Piqué, I listen, whatever. I won't say much on him. The fullbacks aren't strong. They're not impressive to me, especially for the standard of Barcelona. Pat, this is just a top four finish for them. I don't see how they win the league. I don't see how they're competing for a Champions League title. I genuinely don't.
If you think about the recruitment on Atleti's side as well, right? Yeah. They lose Saul, but they gain Rodrigo De Paul. I'd probably say that's an upgrade. And then you gain Griezmann, like who you just get the feeling he's going to go back there and do well. And then that means your attacking firepower is like,
what does this do for João Felix?
João Felix, Suarez, Griezmann. I mean, it's not bad, is it?
It's not, but how do you feel about the development so far as João Felix?
Because I think he's been playing with an injury, right? I think, yeah.
He's got the nimble body.
Yeah, that first half of the season in La Liga was like, you know, he carries that on for a whole season. He's in the Ballon d'Or contention type of things.
It reminded me of Kaká a little bit.
Yeah, it was that good.
Yeah.
So let's see. I'm still really bullish on him. I think he's going to be a fantastic player, and I think. But when you have that price tag, it's something you need to really, 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 really work up on.
I know. And the contract length too was a lot longer than most. I think it went to 6-7 years. The thing with me is Simeone not great at developing a talent like that. That doesn't have a great history of it. I just worry about his mental state currently. I just hope they're giving him the right environment and the right mentality to help him bounce back. Because we saw, maybe it was a Fernando Santos thing with Portugal, but the kid wasn't featuring. We're talking about 2 years after his move to Adelaide. Maybe I'm being a little impatient. Maybe I need to be more patient on this kid, but I think it needs to click sooner rather than later. Then I think there's that potential of some panic settling in that he's not going to live up to that hype. If that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Because the hype is absurd with him. And I think rightfully so when you see the flashes of it. And I do think the talent's there. But again, compound the injuries. You know, the competition now. Griezmann's going to be playing more of a central role too. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Do you agree with me in saying that they're the favorites?
Yeah, I think with the recruitment they've done, the depth they have at centre-back, the depth they have at full-back, I know Simo Vissako might go. The depth they now have in midfield with Rodrigo De Paul, I think he's probably going to come in and become their best central midfielder, which is crazy to say, isn't it? And then, you know, that firepower, it's going to be the best in the league. If you think about Real Madrid losing probably the best two center backs in the league.
they lost like quite literally two legendary center backs.
Yeah.
And you know, Varane is an accomplishment. He's got a long way to go, but Sergio Ramos certainly, those are two guys that won four Champions Leagues. Four. And they're going with Militao, who I'm a fan of, yeah. But again,
I like him, yeah.
I think this is a very difficult spot for Ancelotti. I don't see how, you know, Barca is going to do it, obviously. I think this will actually, like, if Atleti just plays the way they need to play, I think they could win this league by 10 points, Ben. I'm not even exaggerating at this point. That's how low I am on Madrid and the type of manager that Ancelotti is now. Ronald Koeman, he's got his hands tied with Barca. I truly do believe that. I'll say that now. Maybe we'll use this clip for 90-minute pod in a year's time. And we'll be like, look, he said it.
Let's move quickly on to Ligue 1 before we wrap up.
Yes.
So interesting things happening there. Obviously, PSG buying every single player on the planet. We've probably covered them a fair bit. Some interesting things happening lower down the league, though. So Calvin Stengs, the Mina Raiola client, has moved from AZ Alkmaar to Nice. And Nice have also acquired Melvin Bard, one of Lyon's kind of young products, left back, to go alongside, and probably promises were made to Christophe Galtier, the former Lille manager. Nice are looking pretty decent. Calvin Stengs, obviously, Raiola's doing his classic thing of moving a player from kind of like one of the top 10 leagues into a top 5 league, but as a stepping stone club, and you know, he's probably going to do well there and then move on for a big fee again, and Raiola will be laughing. And speaking of Raiola, another Raiola client, Daniel Marlon, is being linked to Dortmund to replace Sancho. So, Martino, talk to me about those couple of moves.
This is so classic of Mino Raiola, huh? Like, great young talent, having some success. Clubs like Dortmund are selling players that are of high value to clubs that have the money to buy players of high value. Dortmund comes and swoops in a top talent that's at the fraction of the cost that Jadon Sancho went for, and it's just the same fucking treadmill, and Bayern's going to win the league again. And that's just the way it's going to go. And listen, I just think there's just a formula now that we're so accustomed to seeing in this sport, but it's kind of getting stale, Pet, if you yeah. ask me. I genuinely think so, because the parity is lacking strongly. Because, you know, and just a last thought, FS1 is like Fox Sports over here in America. They have the rights to the Bundesliga for a little bit, right? And I just remember watching like top like goals of like the 2000s or like almost every single season in Bundesliga. Like they had the whole catalog for it, right? They're going by it, and they showed like the top goals of the champion winning teams, right? So you see like Wolfsburg winning, Dortmund got a title, other teams, I think Schalke maybe had one, but there was parity there. It wasn't this juggernaut that's Bayern Munich, where they have a monopoly all over the league, where they're getting a generational striker for free. To me, I think that league isn't dead, but I don't see how they're going to progress if we keep on seeing the Dortmunds of the world do what they're doing. If they're not able to hold on to these guys and they're more than willing to sell them, listen, James Sancho is a different thing. I think he was always destined to go back to England. And hey, maybe Haaland was always destined to, you know, go on to bigger and better things, especially with his goal scoring record in the Champions League and his agent. For me, it's they're good moves on that surface level, but I just can't help but think that this is just more of the same. And when we're going to be watching in season is, you know, Dortmund is kind of fun to watch, but what are they going to win? And to me, I want to see different teams win. Atletico winning, awesome. Chelsea winning the Champions League, okay, it's a little bit different than what we've been seeing. You know, Inter winning the league finally, cool. Lille winning the league, that's fun. But then look what happens a year after. To me, it's just totally different from what we're used to seeing. And everyone pretending that it's still like okay in this current model for this sport is working is silly to me, because it's not, in my opinion. So, yeah.
I think we should wrap up on that note.
Yeah, no, I just had a vent on it. We'll plug Sant'Angelo's Twitter still quickly. The guy still got 10K on there, so he should still be growing. @Matt_Sant'Angelo for all this stuff. He's going to be letting us know when he's able to hop back in. Just stay tuned, everyone. So for all that, Pet, your socials.
At Pet Berisha, PetBerisha, tweeting about how hot it is recently, and on 1750 followers, which is great.
1750. Oh, okay. There we go. 250 away. Get Pet to 2K by the start of the Premier League season. Let's see that. Pet's died out a bit ever since the Super League died out, so he doesn't have many viral tweets left back. In him. he's all out of the bag of tricks. You can follow me on Twitter @MartinoPuccio 2300. Doing all right. Just the Milan report stuff. There isn't going to be too much writing for The Athletic for the time being. Gonna try and figure some other stuff out, but betting stuff surely would be in there. Pet, do the Bucks win the NBA title?
I think after the momentum they've got, yeah, 100%.
Okay. All right.
I mean, look, put them on the CP3 and Dev Booker look a bit tired, don't they now?
I think CP3 is catching up to him. Booker, no. I don't think so. But then again, DeAndre Ayton being nullified like that and not taking the bigger league. But then again, you know, Suns fans told me they rather have DeAndre Ayton over Luka Doncic when that happened. But again,
but the thing is, right, like when these, it feels like big moments define these series. The Antetokounmpo block and then the dunk. It just like those moments, you win one game and you ice the other, and then suddenly the momentum starts to go with you.
There is not a sport, in my opinion, that has bigger explosive athletic play moments that are just basically iconic, that like go down and you remember them for years than basketball.
But also they shift games so massively.
It does. It really does. If you've ever like played in those games too, you're gonna be any level. plays like that, you feel momentum shifted. So yeah, so glad to know Pet has been keeping up with the NBA. Other than that, guys, follow us on Twitter at State of Play Pod. You can follow us on Instagram, like the Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Link to the YouTube channel is in the description of the show. Remember, 90 Minute Football Podcast Network. Other than that, listen to some more Keen.